Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Hour number three of Bart and Han. Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. We got the calls to get to at 800-919-3776. We certainly will continue to do that with you, but this is the final hour of our show on a Friday, so you know things get a little weird. And that's fine, because that's how we like it. We love it this way. It's a beautiful day in New York City. The spring is here. We are in playoff mode. The draft was last night, and there's just so much going on. But we've got to get to what happened last night in Philadelphia and get more perspective on that. But before we do all that, Bart, it's hour number three. It's Friday. And it's Bart and Han, so what's that mean?
It's the power hour, 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 hour. Power hour.
Power hour. Certainly indeed. The power hour brought to you by Open Road Auto Group. And so before we get back to calls on this, and we all know what we're talking about, of course, it is last night's game. Ended in a loss for the Knicks. So it's 2-1 now. The Knicks have the series lead. Game four is Sunday at 1 o'clock in Philadelphia. Now, all that stuff is fine. And Joel Embiid had a 50-point performance, a career playoff high for him. And the 43-point third quarter was certainly the difference in this game. But the biggest story that came out of this had nothing to do, not even Embiid's performance, not even how the Sixers shot 9 of 12 from 3 in the third quarter. None of that, even that Jalen Brunson went for 39 and 13. None of that stuff was the story. The story out of this game was that Joel Embiid probably should have never stayed in the game to begin with. He was, in the beginning of this game, completely out of control. And that is not an opinion. It's a fact. You can watch yourself and you'll see how he is on the floor, seeking out fouls, seeking out contact, twice kicking a Knicks player in the crotch. One time getting just a technical foul for it. And again, gentlemen, everybody listening, we all know that's a flagrant. That's a flagrant in real life. Never mind on a basketball court. And then the flagrant foul that he does get called for. So that's a technical and then a flagrant, right? The flagrant one he gets called for is when Mitchell Robinson is in the air and Embiid is on the ground and he reaches up and grabs Mitchell Robinson's legs while he's in the air, pulls him down, and then shoves him off of his body, and then claims that it was some type of like self-preservation thing that happened, which is just maddening to me, that he would even start to talk about, well, you know, I've been landed on before and I got scared. He wouldn't have landed on you if you didn't grab his freaking legs. Never mind all that. The point is, he didn't get a flagrant two. The officials say they unanimously decided that it was not excessive nor unnecessary. And that's what they're looking for, excessive and unnecessary.
Oh, it was necessary.
Yeah, those two things were quite unnecessary and excessive. But that's what the officials ruled. So he stays in the game and goes on to have his best playoff game. And his team hangs on, yes, hangs on, to at least get a win to make it 2-1. You and I vented about this for an hour. We've had calls venting about it, and we'll continue to take them. But somebody that really does need to vent more about this, who was fantastic last night, not only on the radio call on 98.7 ESPN for the game, but also when she jumped into the postgame show with us like she does after every game, is Monica McNutt. And so I said to Monica, you got to join us. You need to talk to us about this, and we need to have it out. So, Monica, the floor is yours. How do you feel now the morning after seeing what happened last night?
Hi, guys. Before I get a little testy, let me get all the pleasantries out of the way. Hi, Brian. Hey, Han.
What's
happening? With you guys. I'm even more pissed today than I was last night, Han, which is, like, unusual for me because I really pride myself on being someone that doesn't get stuck. But I watched our clip from our opening segment of the postgame, and my first line was Joel Embiid should have been ejected. The pool report with Zach Zarbra only proceeded to piss me off more. The explanation by Joel Embiid also only included to piss me off more. The only thing that gave me any solace, frankly, was maybe Josh Hart's response, pointing out that you're talking about a 7-foot, 230-pound dude, like, that could do real damage. Is Josh the only person involved in this game that had logic, like, besides his Knicks teammates, of course?
We lost Monica. We'll get her back.
Yeah, but to our point, I think we have to answer. We have to answer what she said because she asked the question. So let's answer it. I think maybe Josh Hart may be one of the very few people that's using logic. You know, I think when you think of the letter of the law, was it unnecessary and excessive? The reason why they're not saying excessive because he didn't show that he was hurt. That's to my other point, right? If he would act like he was hurt, went down.
Well, it's
like,
my contact being excessive. It was excessive to grab somebody by the legs and pull them down.
Because you didn't because you didn't have to do it. But I just, I mean, when Monica gets back on, I'd rather ask her about, you know, what's next. I understand, like, the letter of the law, and it gets worse, and especially I didn't hear what Joel Embiid said. So, you know, that's why, you know, I would definitely want to hear that because can't you put stuff in and stuff be upgraded? Can he get upgraded and then it sits on his playoff record where he can potentially get suspended? Or
yeah, I have asked the league if Adam Silver or anybody else can then review it and then have some type of other punishment that comes off of the game because it wasn't done in the game. And it was possible but unlikely is what the response I got. So, Monica, again, continue your thought just right before we lost.
Okay. My bad. Okay, so Josh Hart and his teammates have sent. Then I thought about the process or the timeline of events. The first foul that's called the tech should have legitimate been a flagrant, right? Then I don't need the second call to be a flagrant too, because the flagrant combined, you're out. And
two
so I'm really
right.
looking at this like, wow, are we, if y'all want to say protect star players in the playoffs any louder, like just say it, right? At the expense of other guys.
Great
and
point.
Then Han, when I texted you today, I'm really thinking this through, right? Like, Knicks are not level-headed, really cool dudes. If Mitchell Robinson is a little more Isaiah Stewart-like, and reacts to this, does it become more of a thing in which the refs have to be honest about how it started? I wouldn't want to see Mitchell Robinson unavailable for the next game if anything were to carry over, should it have escalated in that moment. But I'm really thinking through this, like, did the Knicks get punished for trying to keep their chins up and not add to it?
It's a great
point.
So
the superstar just gets away with being absolutely ridiculous?
Here's what I said.
What are we doing here?
Here's what I said. Because I said this to begin, because that's what Bart was talking about, the idea of having to, you know, you've got to, like, get some get back. And I said, that's the problem. The retaliation always gets punished more than the original act. Always. And that's why I was impressed with how the Knicks kept their composure throughout the beginning of that game. Had a lead after the first. Had a lead at halftime. And then the third quarter, look, that's where you tip your cap. The Sixers went crazy making threes, and it was just insane. But with 5 minutes to go, Monica, it was an 8-point game. And I'm telling you, you were in the building. I know you felt the tension building when it was, oh, wait, this is down to single digits. Could the Knicks pull it? Because that would have been the ultimate F you to come back and win that game.
100%. Now, real quick, before we move on to the last three quarters, the only reason I wonder if the Knicks ultimately get penalized for being such incredible gentlemen is because in that first quarter, most of the Sixers – I would say 4 out of 5 of the starters, maybe not Tobias Harris because he's just cool. 4 out of the 5 starters had been particularly demonstrative.
Fox got to get a better signal in Philly.
No, well, they cutting it.
I know what it is, right? She's in Philadelphia and they're not letting her get through.
Yeah,
she's
got
a lot to say. That's what's happening
down
with
the switch line.
But again, that's a first, you could see, and we talked about this at the start of the show. The way the last 30 seconds went in game two carried over to the start of game three. And it was that feeling that, okay, the Knicks had an advantage. The Knicks got away with some things. And so the Sixers knew they're not calling anything like that. And that's exactly what that was. They're not calling anything.
Like, oh, we can go crazy.
And that's the bigger problem, in my opinion, is that they knew it. And the Knicks had to just get through it. And that's what Josh Hart said. For those who missed it, Josh Hart said he was not surprised by anything that happened last night.
We knew what game 3 was going to be. All right, come on now. We knew, especially how game 2 ended. We knew what it was going to be. So am I surprised? Not at all. At the end of the day, now we just got to move on.
Surprised at all.
But that's the crazy thing, too, man. You know what I mean? Like, so now – with all this being said and this outrage on television, I guarantee you that whoever referees the next game is going to be like, we're not having that. They're going to set an early foul, early double tech on people, let them know we ain't doing that. Like, nah, man, y'all can't do that now. Nah, they got to get this ass whooping back. You know what I'm saying? They got to get this hit back. Nah, man, I get my hit. Nah, we're not doing this. Double technical on the coaches. You know that's how they're going to do it, man. Hell no. That's why, listen, at some point, I say, all right, we're going to keep our cool. If we win it by 20, And it's one of those things.
Well, that's what I'm thinking.
We go one. Yeah. We gonna steal and we gonna shoot when we ain't gotta shoot. Dunk that thing if we hang on the rim, especially if it's in Philly. And if it's one of them things where we up, you go to there, we gonna take a hard ass foul on you and send your ass to Cabo.
Well, that's the and we got Monica back, so let's continue the conversation there though about what we saw in the beginning of this thing. And you know, like all the calls we're getting today, Monica, have to do with Jericho Sims has to go in there and, you know, play the enforcer, or this has to happen and that has to happen. And I just feel like game four can't involve any of this. Do you agree with that? Like you really almost have to move on from it, like Josh Hart said.
Absolutely agree with you, right? Like, and Jericho Sims, that would be completely out of character for him. We don't want a Matt Rimpey situation happening with the New York Knicks. Like, no, we don't need that. But this is what I will say. I do hope that the same way that the conversation after game two in the Garden provoked a more attentive whistle, we'll call it, in game three, I hope that there's no room for any type of those antics in game four, now that everybody's on their P's and Q's, right? Mm-hmm. And that's from the level of the officials, and hopefully no player makes any moves like that, because that's absolutely outside of the spirit of competition. And for all of that, Han, to our point before we got cut off, it was still had the potential of being a tight ball game down the stretch, because that's who these New York Knicks are. So I'm getting ready for game three here tonight in Indy versus the Bucks. So I'm going to jump, but thank you for allowing me to get that on my chat.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize
we'll
you were working tonight.
On Sunday.
Look at you. I thought you were in Philly, and they were cutting off your line in Philadelphia. They didn't want you speaking the truth, but apparently you're working the game tonight. All right. No, hey, let you go.
Monica, she become a true professional, because what she did the other day, I would have stepped over every part of that call with that last second shot. I would have tap danced. They would have been like, damn, Bart.
We played it. So we played it on the air. Monica, I know you got to run, but real quick. We played it, and obviously on radio, you can't see your facial expressions and you waiting. And then the one precious moment was where you just grabbed Pat O'Keefe's arm as if to say, I need to say something, but I know I can't. And Bart right away is like, oh, I would have been all over that. I would have been stepping on. Like, Bart was like,
I'm like, release, rotation, splat. Like, bro, that's my line. That is not your line, bro. Cut his mic.
Go ahead. Go do what you got to do, Mom. I appreciate you, though.
Yeah, I'll talk to you guys later. Have a great weekend.
All right, Monica. I forgot. That's right. She was working tonight on ESPN on the coverage of that Pacers Bucks series.
Damn, that's an interesting one.
We'll see. You know, I think the Pacers sent a message in that game two, by the way. But look, you heard her say it, right? Do you agree or disagree? Like, and Monica played at Georgetown. Like anybody that played basketball at any level, high school, college, you don't have to have been a pro. You know, one of the most egregious, unacceptable, unapologetic things that you can do is when a player is in the air, that you grab the legs or go for the leg. You are taking away the ability to land. That is the dirtiest play. Like, I have seen guys get clotheslined. I've seen all kinds of disgusting things. I mean, man, I played Division II basketball, man. That's a different level. That's a different kind of dirty.
Right,
I played junior college. How about this? I played
Flint?
Junior college basketball. That's a different kind of dirty. Trust me.
What's the thing with
I've never
Ferrell?
Seen that.
Flint. What's the guy with Will Ferrell? The Tropic. I can't think of it. Woody Harrison. What's the name of the movie, man? It just came to my head. I don't know. I'm laughing inside. Okay. Nobody else gets my joke.
Okay,
you know what I'm talking about, man. Will Ferrell, the basketball thing where they played in Michigan.
Oh, Tropic. When they were the oh, God. Now you got me doing it. When they're the ABA team.
What was it, semi-pro?
Yeah, semi-pro. Yeah. Right, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, we had no crowds, and it just – I mean, they were fighting. JUCO especially. It was bad. I'm telling you. Like, you're playing against guys that – you know, there's guys who – like, they were, like, 27 years old in junior college. You just got out, just served a term, you know?
They give
like,
Lunchables. They give him Lunchables for your pregame meal.
This guy's playing with a razor in his lip. You know what I mean? Like, you know, there's certain things you let it go. Like, he just fouled you hard. Yeah, that's all right. He can do whatever he wants. I'm good. But I'm
Alan
just saying,
with
we
Jackie
all know
Moon. –
We all, I was Jackie Moon in that scenario. I'm telling you that there's things you just don't do.
Yeah.
That's one thing that I can't imagine there's an NBA player who watched that didn't say, that's the one thing you don't do, man. Like, where was LeBron? I know he was busy playing last night, but like, where's LeBron on that? I'd love to hear Draymond.
LeBron crying in a car.
Yeah, LeBron is not happy.
You're like, man, I'm going to the Knicks next year. I'm out of here. I ain't dealing with this. Oof,
that whole Laker thing.
Like, this is bull.
All right, let's get some more calls on this.
D-Lo punched D-Lo in the face for eating a sandwich, eating a donut.
What was he doing at the end of the bench? You talk about things you don't do.
And he a starter. I'd have punched him in the face. Where's Draymond when you need him, man? Every once in a while, teammates deserve that 1-2. Got to hit him with the bing, bing.
That was very, very strange. Let's get some calls. Steven in New Jersey, go.
Come on,
wow.
Steve.
I'm going to get right to it. I'm in South Jersey right now. So I had to listen to the Philly station.
You're in sixth country.
They all talking and complaining, but my thing is, like, at the game, too, they all wanted to cry and want to file grievances and stuff. But they want to turn the look the other way when Joel Embiid's over here kicking people in their manhoods and aiming for, you know, trying to take them out, pull them, doing dirty stuff. So it's like, what's going to be the makeup call for that? But like you said, hon, I got to agree with you. And I'm all for an eye for an eye. But if you retaliate in game four, I already know what the outcome is going to be. They're going to be gunning for Brunson. If Brunson's taken out, then it's going to be really hard for this Knicks team to gather and rally around. Because the Sixers is done. No matter which way you look at it, I'm not even going to speak nothing into existence, but they're done. Joel Embiid is literally on his last leg. He's literally on his last leg, and I don't see him making it to a game seven if it goes that far.
All you got to do now,
make to a game seven. You got to lean on him.
All you got to do now is win game four, and then you say all you got to do. I'm telling you, you heard Monica say it too. She was in the building, and there were a lot of Knick fans there. And you think Sunday there's not going to be a lot of Knick fans? Oh, hell yeah. Like, that's just what happens. And that game was there for the taking in the fourth quarter, and there were a lot of really, really, really tight butts in that building because they were like, oh, no. Because they could feel it. They should have that third quarter should have been the knockout blow. That should have completely – like, the Knicks should have went down by 20, and it should have been that's all she wrote. It should have been an easy win for the Sixers. But instead, it was 8 points. There was under five to go, and the Knicks had the ball. They had two bad possessions. They had one missed shot. I think Brunson missed a runner. Like, it wasn't meant to be. But it was right there. It was right there. And that's all you need to know is, okay, if you had to play out of your mind for a quarter and get away with dirty play early, taking out one of the centers that's supposed to guard you, if that's what it took for you to squeak out a win at home in a playoff game, then I'm like, I got the next 2 days watching film going, well, we know what we got to do. And now you just added a little extra motivation to me. Now, okay. Like, all right, this is how we're going to play. And I'm with Bart. I definitely think the Knicks, and I've been saying, anybody listening to this show knows I've been saying this now for three games. In fact, I said it on
Get Up.
NBA Radio. I said it on Get Up, but I said it on NBA Radio with Isola and Scal and their morning show. It's a really good show, by the way. It's really entertaining. But I was on that show, and I said something about it, and right away they're like, oh, code red, code red. I'm like, no. I'm not saying you're trying to take his knee out, but you definitely have to play him harder on that side and make him feel it because it is the playoffs. And now I'm going to say it again. I'm going to say it with more emphasis. That's how the Knicks have got to have a mentality every time they see him. The box outs have to have a little something extra on them. And if you're going to foul them, there's none of this. No more tap fouls anymore. If you know you're going to foul them, you better hit him. Hit him. And keep hitting him. He's not going to like it. Now, he'll go to the free throw line, yes. He makes his free throws. But you know he gets it in his head. He's one of these emotional players. And I feel like it's going to have to be that way. But dirty play and all that, no. You cannot retaliate. You can't try to start something because you're playing into it. What the Knicks did, in my opinion, Bart, was they tried to stay above it. And that almost helped them win the game. But I still feel like they've been too nice. I know it sounds contradictory, but does that make sense to you when I say that? I thought they did the right thing by staying classy and staying above the level, but I also feel like they probably could have played a little bit harder against him.
Yeah, it's physicality is what you're talking about. It's like, it's not dirty. It's being physical. It's boxing out strong, putting a body on a body, putting them hard, being intentional in your movement. It's that. It's not being dirty. It's attention to detail. That's what they tried to do. You don't think after they got out rebounded with all the offensive rebounds that the Knicks had in game one, that they went and said, hey, we got to be physical. We got to go out there.
That's all they've talked about.
We need our small guards
getting
downhill. It's on all of us to get rebounds.
Now, Kelly Oubre said we have to muddy it up, is what he said. Muddy it up. When somebody says muddy it up, what are they talking about?
That means
dragging you into the mud.
Going to that line.
Yeah. By the way, did you hear about Oubre?
Yeah.
Did you hear this story?
Bye-bye.
So as a story, this TMZ reported this. So after game two, which was Monday night, I guess they went back to Philly that night. They got in. It was 1:45 a.m. in Philadelphia. He's driving a Lamborghini, his Lamborghini, which he had just featured in something that he did. And apparently he blew a stop sign or a red light and crashed into like a Hyundai or something like that. Wrecked the Lamborghini. Now, he's lucky.
He wrecked the Lamborghini, not the Hyundai?
Well, I mean, you know, the Lamborghini bodies aren't
good old Hyundai.
But how about the fact, well, there were no injuries, which is, first of all, amazing. Second of all, think about this for a minute. An important player in the series for the Sixers is out blowing red lights at a quarter to two in the morning. Like, what are you doing? Can you imagine if they lost him in the series because he got injured in a car accident?
Mm-hmm.
How important he's been to their defense on Brunson?
I know.
Like, what an unbelievable story. But the fact that he, like, walked away from it and he's okay, and then the person he hit was also okay.
I would have laid underneath that Lamborghini.
You know what I'm saying? Like, the minute you see a Lamborghini, I don't care who's in it.
I'd have been Harlem shaking. Let me say that for us.
If I'm a parked car and you're running into my car.
Oh, he ran into the car and it was parked.
If it was parked. I'm just saying he literally ran into another car. Oh, I'm definitely something hurt. Something, I'm in all kinds of pain.
Bro, I'm going to need you to buy me. I'm driving a Honda. I need to drive an Escalade or something. I got to go in my
I think it was an Elantra, I believe. Yeah.
Now, you got to buy me a whole new car. Cash, homie. Or we're going to have some problems.
Yeah, it's crazy. What a story. What a series. This has been so much drama. It's only three games in. All right, 800-919-3776. We will go full buffet the rest of the show on the draft, on, of course, Knicks and Sixers last night. Anything else going on? It is Friday. It is, you know how it goes here. Bart calls it Bucket Friday, and we're just going to have some fun taking it all the way up to the K show. But first, Bart's going to tell us about PanCan.
Yeah, man, it's not too late. Tomorrow is the day. PanCan. Purple Stride is the ultimate walk to end pancreatic cancer. If you're a loved one that's been affected by pancreatic cancer, Purple Stride is the event for you. Your participation and fundraising makes all the difference in advancing progress for patients. Join the movement on Saturday, April 27th at 9 a.m. at the South Street Seaport, Pier 17. Register for free at purplestride.org/New York. That's purplestride.org/New York.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, let's get back to the calls at 800-919-3776. Let's take Sal in Smithtown on the draft. What's up, Sal? Sal, are you there?
Sal ordering the chopped cheese.
I don't know. Gave Sal a chance to talk a little bit of the football stuff. We got a lot of Knicks calls to get to. Blair in Plainfield. Go ahead, Blair.
Yeah, this is Blair. I once likened Alec Burks to spoiled meat in the freezer. I don't know if you guys remember that. But anyway, real quick, I'm happy with the Giants. I'm glad we got neighbors. But back to the Knicks. The number one thing is win first. You use your brain first, your body second. So Tibbs was perfect at that. He keeps his composure. Everybody, all his main people, Hart, you know, Brunson, they're poised. I hear you, Bart, but the bottom line is you have to channel that anger and emotion. You put a body on them, leave your elbows and your hands at your side, and I'm agreeing with you. Get those three centers there, impede his progress, make him work. And when you can, you do lean on that knee. Okay, but you don't make it obvious, because hurting them, beating them, will hurt Embiid worse than anything you can do physically. Every time he sits down and watches the Knicks go on to the next round, it's going to hurt. You must win first.
See, I agree. That's how you hurt him the most, because this guy's never been out of the second round. So they had a chance coming back in that game in the fourth quarter. Wasn't able to pull it off, fine. Game four, business. Business. Because, again, you go up 3-1, you come home. What do you think, by the way, Bart, what do you think the Garden will be like if the Knicks are game five, they're up 3-1, and then Embiid's walking into that house of horrors? How do you think they're going to treat him? Well, just imagine the reception that he's going to get if the Knicks are on the verge of eliminating his team. No, that's exactly why, Sunday – you know, okay.
But if he keeps punking you, you don't have a chance to win, because he's comfortable. You're not in his personal space. Like, he's shooting these threes. He's being able to just come down, lean in front, get you to back up, shoot over you.
Some of those threes were ridiculous. Yeah, and some of them, they left them open. It was bad coverage on the pick and pop. With you. Totally with you on that.
Like,
drop coverage is going to let that. That's the problem. The Knicks play this drop coverage, and against Porzingis, you saw it with Vucevic with the Bulls. Anytime you've got a big that can shoot threes – the drop coverage is obviously a big problem. It doesn't work because it allows those guys to just get easy looks from downtown.
They're allowing him to rest on offense.
Yeah, and he doesn't do anything.
Like, he's good enough to – he don't go for offensive rebounds.
Nope.
He's good enough to just shoot and kill you from shooting.
Yeah.
Like, you it's like you challenging him. Give him a good – let's not let him get an easy layup. He ain't trying to do a layup. He damn sure ain't trying to jump. The last time he dunked, he hurt himself. Lay there.
You're right. Manny in Flushing. Manny.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Good. What's happening?
Not much, guys. Listen, at the end of the day, Joel Embiid should have been ejected, but I guess you could say the politics was part of it. You know, I don't think, you know, a superstar shouldn't be like, you know, wouldn't be ejected or get suspended. But I respectfully disagree on the part you mentioned about the Knicks would be fine. I don't think so, because – I always feel the team who leads the series are the most pressure, because now it gives Philly like an edge to be is going to be motivated, because now Sunday will be game four. It's going to be hostile, and it would. And I think game four is going to be a turning point, be crucial point, because whoever wins that game, I feel is going to win the series.
Well, you can feel that way, because usually momentum goes that way, but all it does is make it 2-2. Like,
yeah,
you still have two home games.
They still have home field, but the thing is, you still don't want it to come to that. You don't want it to come, game seven in our house. You want to steal one at their house.
You got
to
get
business
one on
home.
Yes.
That's the thing. They saying we got to protect our home court, and we'll have to eventually steal one, and, you know, that's all we have to do.
There was no part of game three where I felt – it was like over. Like, the third quarter, you were like, oh my God. Like, it just, like, they couldn't miss from three. And you're like, this is insane. They went on a 16-6 run. Like, it was just stupid. But even in the fourth quarter, I'm like, well, no, it's only 13. Like, they can come back from this. And then it got to 8, and I'm like, all right, well, they're in this thing. Like, I never felt like this is, well, my God, they're just being overwhelmed, right? Like, it never felt like that. So we knew this was going to be a close series. No one thought this was going to be easy. But I do feel like Game 4 is a winnable game. It's not a, you know, I don't feel like they're going to be overwhelmed. I just don't. I think it's a winnable game. And I think they've got to get through the stuff with Embiid and just get back to who they were. The fact that Jalen Brunson got into rhythm and started to be the weapon that he is, and you didn't lose anything from Josh Hart. He still had 4 3-pointers and a 20-point performance. He was great. So, like, my biggest concern for Game 4 is, will they have Mitchell Robinson? Because it does help to have that big body with the long arms to guard Embiid. And to not have him would be definitely a detriment. I never felt like they were completely outclassed in that game. They were still very much in it. What beat them was an epic, historic third quarter and then an epic, historic performance by one of their players. Allen in Uniondale. Allen.
Yo, what's going on, fellas?
What's happening?
Ain't not much, man. Shout out to the companies. But yeah, man, I want to get into a couple stuff. This Embiid thing. Come on, he hit my man's in the Bozak, right? That's crazy. That's just crazy. That's how it started. Hit him in the Bozak, and then he want to go. And when he pulled my man's down like that, you know what's crazy? Mitchell Robinson should have just took a page out of Stone Cold's book. Stomp a mud hole right in his chest. Just, get off me. Just like Draymond did to Sabonis last year, that's what Mitchell Robinson should have did. Just like that. And he had the right to, because he actually was grabbing his leg. You know, could have definitely did that. And, man, that just got me tight. But then LeBron, too. I'm not a LeBron hater. I rock with LeBron. He's cool. Like, he's great. But that stuff that he said, that's like, you know, when you like, beating your friend all the time in Mortal Kombat or Madden, and he's just like, it's just a game, man. I don't care. That's what he sounds like, because, like, he lost too many times. And yeah, then I got defeated. A question. So, the pickleball event's happening. Make odds. Give me odds and who y'all got.
Well, I'm rocking. I don't know the odds, but I'm rocking with Anita and Armani. I'm a rock with Anita because, man, I've known Anita since my Baltimore Raven days. You know what I'm saying? We worked with each other, but she covered me when I was all the way in Baltimore. So I got to rock with her. You know what I'm saying?
So your rooting interest is there, but I think we're looking for, like,
well, she plays every day, so I know Dave
is an accomplished tennis player.
Yes,
though.
But this is pickleball, so it's not quite the same. She plays.
What does Rosenberg say? It's tennis adjacent.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know what type of shape he in. How serious he takes it?
No, he's actually.
I don't know how seriously he takes it, but I know that Anita, because she's trying to get me to play every week. She plays every day, damn.
Yeah.
And she's one of these people.
Anita is the ultimate athlete.
So now it's really about is Armani taking it serious? That's what it's about.
All right. You ask the question. I'm gonna let you answer. We know Armani well. We love him. What's the answer?
Well, Armani loves cycling.
Let me see. Does Armani take it as seriously as you took our 2-on-2?
Yeah, probably. But he's a cycler though. So he cycles all the time.
He's probably in great shape because
he loves cycling.
I know.
But I don't know how much
he does the
pickleball
long distance
time.
Rides.
Yeah, like 25 miles, 50 miles.
Pickleball? Are you covering much ground?
I mean, no, you ain't moving. But what I'm saying is, I want to see if he knows. Because if he's just going to play pickleball for the first time, he don't know how that ball gonna go. Because like a wiffle ball, it's got air in it, so it don't really perform like a tennis ball.
I have no idea even what it's. I've seen it. It looks like basically ping pong on a tennis court.
That's what
it looks like.
But the ball's not like a ping pong ball. You touch a ping pong ball, the thing go fly. Yeah, it got holes in it.
So it'll move around?
Yeah. But it's not going to go. Like, you can hit it hard, but it's not going to, like, fly on you. You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying? Because it got holes in it. So, like, you know, a ping pong, you hit a ping pong, you got to have touch. That thing going to fly. This one, you hit it, it's going to die. A little top spin.
So is it a paddle or a racket?
You know the ball when kids are playing baseball and it's that round ball and it got holes in it? It's basically that.
Yeah, but I'm saying, is it a paddle or a racket?
It's a paddle. It's a ping pong. It's a ping pong, like basically a square ping pong.
So it's ping pong.
Yeah.
So it's stand up. It's ping pong.
But remember, it's hitting the ground. It's not going to bounce off of the ground and stuff like on the ping pong table because they don't have a ping pong energy like that.
Yeah. What odds could you possibly – like, I have no idea.
2-1 odds.
2-1? All I know is this, that Armani is probably going to try harder than you did. Because otherwise, like,
you know, I hit our first two baskets.
First of all, I assisted both of those on your cuts to the basket. Second
then
of
Keyshawn
all,
Keyshawn almost took me out. I was like, man, I ain't got time to be getting ACL surgery.
And then you looked at me and said, hey, 51-year-old, you guard Jay Will, who was like the national player of the year,
but you know,
the number
he went,
two pick
but
in the draft.
But you were tall.
And 10
you know,
years
he went,
younger than me.
You know he wasn't driving.
You
were taller than me, so you can cover out the – I couldn't close out. My lungs was hurting.
Bart, how many knees do you have?
Two knees, no
toe. You have
toe.
Two. You have two knees. I have no knees.
Oh, okay.
Both of them, no good. No bueno. And I'm supposed to guard this guy.
I figured give me the fat tight end that's sitting there trying to muscle up, trying to be Mr. Muscle so Man. Like, all right, you want to make this a muscle contest?
I almost feel like this. I guarantee Dave, because, you know, we'll go with the pros and the Joes. I guarantee Dave will play better than I did. And I probably can guarantee that Amani will play better than you did.
No.
Aside from that, it's basically Rick versus Anita.
This pickleball, you ain't got to go nowhere. It was slippery out there, and Keyshawn almost pushed me through the pole. I said, nah, man.
Just hearing a lot of excuses.
I was like, no. And then Jay just hit, like, he just hit jumpers because I couldn't close the distance. I was like, I can't let him drive by me.
Well, that was the other part that bothered
me. I can't breathe.
Jay just took, like, three threes and the game was over. It's like, wait a minute. Like, that's too easy. Like,
yeah,
jumpers.
Yeah, it should have been two-pointers and we went by ones, man.
Why didn't you press up? Why didn't you put a forearm in his chest? Why didn't you send a message?
No, I couldn't breathe.
Everything.
The Peloton, I hadn't practiced basketball, played touch basketball. I made my couple moves like, woo, air a little thin out here.
You had me start off against Sean Kemp, Keyshawn Johnson. And I'm carrying his 300 bills for like three or four possessions.
Remember, we switched. Remember, he smacked the hell out of my wrist.
You're like, you guard Jay. I'm like, I'm going to guard who? Like,
that's because I was mad because Keyshawn like had fouled me hard. I'm like, all right, you want to see what a receiver against linebacker?
He hit me good. He fouled me hard.
He was out there like Sean Kemp, man.
Mm-hmm.
Cavaliers.
I feel like we need a rematch, but Keyshawn now lives back in L.A., and we're never going to get to do
that. Yeah, he'll never get in shape.
No, he's in a shape.
Oh, he's doing
Yeah. He's definitely in a shape.
Yeah, like an Idaho potato.
Something like that. All right. Enough of that. 800-919-3776. We will finish with calls. The K-Show is coming up. The best song ever for each week that we have. This is the best song to come into a break, come out of a break, I should say, is coming up next. It's one we love the most because it means the weekend is coming. All that and more, but first, Bart. Tell me about BetMGM.
Yeah, man. The New York Rangers are back in the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's time to take the ice for playoff action with BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. BetMGM has you covered with countless betting options for hockey, including same-game parlays, props, teasers, live bets, and more. With a new and improved app that makes betting faster and easier than ever before and special offers for Ranger fans, it's no wonder why BetMGM is the king of sports books. If you love hard-hitting action, you're going to love wagering at BetMGM. Download the BetMGM app and get your piece of the excitement as the Rangers return to the Stanley Cup playoffs. Light up the lamp with BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Madison Square Garden and the New York Rangers. BetMGM and GameSense reminds you to play responsibly. Must be 21 years or older to wager and physically present in New York only. Well, New York or New Jersey only. If you're somebody you know who has a gambling problem, help is available. In New Jersey, call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY at 467-369.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! And the playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season.
Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Feeling like you need a marketing degree and an extra day in your week to successfully market your small business? Let Constant Contact do the heavy lifting for you. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has powerful tools that make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more to boost your business. Now, in just a few clicks, you can launch a marketing campaign that's tailored to your business and goals. That includes email, social, SMS, and more. So you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track your business growth. Plus, you can always count on Constant Contact's award-winning customer support for guidance along the way. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Just puts me in a good mood because you know why? You know why, right?
Just got paid Friday night. Party's jumping. Feel all right. Booty shaking, dance to the beat.
I just puts me in a good mood because that means the weekend's here.
Yeah, man.
Hey, by the way, you've been talking about like off the draft and stuff, and now you got to watch the draft, right? The first round gets out of the way, but now you get the second day and the third day, and this is where trades start to happen.
Yeah,
I don't mean draft pick trades. I mean people trades. Like, there's a lot of talk out of San Francisco that it's not just Ayuk.
Yeah, well,
Debo
right?
Also.
Well, they could trade. You know, they got the kid from Florida, Pascal, last night. So then, essentially, they can say, okay, we can get rid of Debo and pay Ayuk, who's a younger player. Debo's, you know, complaining about his contract a couple of years ago. He's been injured. He always gets injured, seemingly at the wrong time, like in playoff games where they need him. And how long you want to ride this horse before you think, hey, it's already broken?
And there were reports that the Patriots actually made calls about him.
For Debo or Ayuk?
For Debo.
Ah, yeah. Well, hey, take that $19 million with you. Go ahead. You can have that. You can take that.
All right. But I don't want the Patriots getting better. I like them bad.
They are not a threat.
So Rangers play tonight in Washington. They play their game three, their first game on the road now. Will Washington do the same thing that Philly did? For the Knicks, we know that the Capitals are going to have to resort to those types of things. It got really nasty in game two. So I would watch tonight's game, man. Like, seriously, tonight's game could get – I mean, if you're the Capitals, what other option do you have against the Rangers? You can't match their offense. The Rangers are just they detonate quick.
Muddy it up.
So this game – I'm telling you, watch this game tonight, man. This kind of have a little bit of physicality to it. 7 o'clock – is the puck drop. So, you know, Islanders, I don't even know what to say. It's kind of like heartbreaking, but just making the playoffs to me was sort of like the way, you know, like, all right, you did that. That's the accomplishment. Now let's get to work on the offseason. Know what I mean?
It's been real, man. It's been real.
Right? You watching the Rangers tonight? Come on, be honest. Yes or no? Friday night.
No, I'm watching the draft.
The draft is a phone watch. The draft isn't a TV watch, is it?
Second day? Yeah, because this is when the trades come. There's so many players that got pushed to the second round. It's crazy.
I know.
You know, Tess was talking about, Saquon Barkley's going, but, like, you know, the projections in the draft, you know, experts got him taking Jonathan Brooks, who we thought that the Cowboys were going to draft in the first round. I mean, you know, that's a war daddy right there, man. If it's any war daddies, like, you know, just remember – imagine where would the Jets be if they hadn't taken Breece Hall in the second round?
That's a good point. You can get good value there. That is fair.
You can get arguably your greatest contributor, like Nick Chubb, like, you know, Alvin Kamara. Like, come
on,
man.
All right. You got me. So we'll keep an eye on that. That is the Power Hour brought to you by Open Road Auto Group. Open Road, Mercedes-Benz, BMW, and Audi offer excellent pricing and first-class experience. Choose Open Road for your next new or pre-owned vehicle. Visit us online at Open Road. .com. It's the weekend, Bart Scott. I will see you Monday.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.